This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 11:31 in the morning, and you're with Lee Chui Lin, Lin Mak, and Shamila Ganesan. Together, we've been talking about the very latest updates that have come out this morning, as well as looking at it from the political, legal, and economic angle. So now, one of the words I think that's been underlying all of this has always been reform and corruption and efforts to do away with corruption. And with that in mind, that's what our next guest is going to be speaking about. So on the line with us, we have Cynthia Gabriel of C4. That is, of course, the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. Cynthia, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So we have seen a change of leadership in our country. What are your thoughts and responses to this?
It's a backdoor government. It is something we absolutely cannot support. The democracy in this country has to be returned to the people. And a backdoor government, no matter which way, cannot be supported by the people. Also, the numbers don't seem to add up because Tun Dr. Mahathir in his press conference this morning has mentioned that he has 114 members of parliament who support him being the 8th prime minister. So how is it that Muhyiddin Yassin could actually be sworn in when the numbers actually don't add up? We have 222 parliamentarians. So if it's 114, then Muhyiddin would have 108. So one of our very important demands at this very present moment is one is to actually get Tan Sri Muhyiddin. I mean, I know he's already been sworn in. This is something that we cannot accept because the numbers don't add up. We want him to be transparent about which MPs may have actually supported him. Did anybody actually sign for both sides and whether those are legitimate? And second, that an emergency parliament session be called as quickly as possible to determine who actually has the majority. Transparency is vital here. And we are actually very, very concerned that with all this horse trading going on, you never know how much money actually got passed around to buy over members of parliament. It's a really, really critical, very difficult scenario for the country, not just constitutionally, legally, and so on. But we're really very worried about how much corruption had actually transpired in the process of the power struggle.
And there is no way to track that, I'm assuming, because, you know, in terms of talking about these sorts of deals and discussions, is there really any way to know if there is that exchange of money or, you know, promises?
Well, of course, they wouldn't make it known. So it becomes even more worrying that everything was done behind the scenes. So we have no proof, but we are very concerned that it could possibly have led to kind of horse trading and buy over. So this is really very important now that institutions act independently. And I have consistently said that my biggest and most important concern when it came to reforms was that institutions in our country have to be independent. And that hasn't actually happened yet. And so we really worry about where things may actually go in terms of corruption. And so my other point is about who Muhyiddin Yassin has actually formed the government with. He has actually partnered with the most corrupted UMNO politicians there are, who are facing court trials now. And these are grand corruption cases. These are corruption cases that run into billions of ringgit. We're talking about Najib, we're talking about Zahid Hamidi, Tengku Adnan, and the works. They've stolen public funds. How is it ever even imaginable that Muhyiddin Yassin and Azmin Ali, complete traitors, to actually link up with these people to actually form a new government? I mean, this is a complete betrayal of the people's trust.
So,
and no matter what, I think it's really very important that we now demand that these court cases actually don't get dissolved, they don't get exonerated. But what can we do? They are in power now.
Well, that's actually what I was going to ask you. So if you could elaborate, what is the possible impact of this new government on these ongoing court cases that are related to, you know, there's 1MDB, of course, the big one, but there are certainly a host of other issues as well. What are some of the possible scenarios that we might see?
Well, that's the worst case scenario, really, that they would find a way to free themselves. And I think this whole idea about trying to lure Muhyiddin Yassin and Azmin Ali and all these people who have betrayed our trust was actually that it was the plotters were actually those very people who are facing court trials. I believe that it could have been the case because they may wanted to have freed themselves in whatever way possible and whatever it could have taken them. Now, I'm saying this knowing that I have no proof, but this is definitely something that is on the agenda, I believe, to free themselves. Because they're staring at like 20, 30, 40 years of prison terms for stealing so much public funds. And it is actually very, very important that these personalities never, ever get back into power until the court trials are over. They have to face the law. They have to face the rule of law and whatever court trials that are taking place. So the fact is, they are now in power, and I'm not really sure what they could possibly do to just eliminate all these trials that are going on. That's the worst-case scenario, but I'm also a little bit more hopeful that this government is not going to be a strong, stable one because of the very people that they have actually partnered with. The corrupt will have to face justice, whether it's in this set of court trials or in any other. So the most important is that I believe very much in the will of the Malaysian people, and they have seen the obsession for power by these politicians. And there is no way anymore that people can place their trust 100% in politicians to actually deliver services and to be accountable and transparent. So I urge the public to be very, very active, to be very vigilant, to actually participate very actively in the political process, demand accountability, demand transparency, demand that a legitimate backdoor government absolutely have no place in our democracy.
So, Cynthia, how then will some of our institutions be affected by this? You know, especially with regard to the appointments of the AG, for example, the MACC Chief Commissioner, those kinds of appointments.
Well, that's left to be seen, really. The Attorney General has resigned, and it's now up to the new Prime Minister to determine who gets in. It could very well be the lawyers and the people who have been protecting the corrupt and who have been defending them in court. Now, that would be a real nightmare, really, for Malaysia, and many, many steps backwards for the reforms that we have worked so hard over the last 2 years and even before GE14 to demand that politicians have integrity and dignity, and only then will Malaysians vote them in. So this is really a very, very bitter lesson for all of us, because the major takeaway now is a complete trust deficit on the politicians in our country. The horse trading, the obsession for power, it has been incredibly devastating, real betrayal of trust. So, to answer your question, I think it really is very important now that the institutions are able to function. But it is the Prime Minister who still determines that. And of course, we have new processes like select committees in Parliament that have been put in place by the former Pakatan Harapan government. We really have a very good speaker in Parliament. So I'm not even sure whether all those matters will be downplayed and the rule of law and the process may not be followed. So it's really now up to the Malaysian people to demand integrity, to demand accountability. But primary to all this is for Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin to actually show us his list of members of parliament that have supported him to become the 8th prime minister, which is a backdoor government, which is a result of a coup led by Azmin Ali and his group of people who have actually created this whole scenario together with Mohiuddin Yassin and these UMNO and PAS leaders that have been there. So
throughout this entire saga, you know, one of the main worries has been public disengagement, you know, from politics, from politicians, and also from, you know, this belief that reforms can happen. Would you have, I suppose, a message to say in terms of why it's important not to disengage or how we can kind of regain some of that momentum and public trust?
It's not really about building trust for this government. That is my view. This government is a backdoor government. It is a complete betrayal of the people's trust and the people who voted in a government that promised a set of reforms. That was Pakatan Harapan. So this is not what Malaysians, the majority of Malaysians voted for.
No.
It's also not what the voters who voted for UMNO in PAS voted for. So this is not what the Malaysian people voted for.
Well, sure. And I did not actually mean, I think, regaining public trust in the government. It's more to do with public trust in the idea that political engagement matters and that reforms can happen.
Well, I'm not confident that this government actually believes in any reforms because of what has happened. So they have actually subverted the entire reform agenda. And so where is it that the reforms would take place? However, it would be very important, I think, for Mohiuddin's legitimacy to make sure that these court cases, which are many, because Najib himself faces so many levels of trials in court, that these court cases continue to be ongoing and that the process continues as ever, because if ever there was a cancellation or, you know, the new attorney general decides that there's not enough evidence, no case, whatever that they may do, then I believe that he has lost completely all legitimacy. Well, actually, he has lost all legitimacy. I maintain that from the beginning. This is a backdoor government. We absolutely cannot engage with the leaders that have forced themselves into power this way.
How do you think all this will impact our corruption ratings?
Bad. There's been an improvement of 10 steps over the last year, and this is just going to become a major rollback on the perception of Malaysians on corruption, on accountability, on the rule of law, and certainly on public trust in government to be able to deal with entrenched corruption. And I tell you why. I think the reason is very simple. The corrupt have found themselves back into power through means which are not constitutional, it's backdoor, and it's completely not something the Malaysian people voted for.
Cynthia, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
That was Cynthia Gabriel of C4, the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism. We are going to be headed to some messages and then we'll be back to read your thoughts. Keep them coming. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. BFM 89.9, it's 11:40, just about 49 in the morning, and you just heard there Johnny Cash, of course, with Ring of Fire. So we've been asking you for your thoughts and feelings throughout the morning, and again, you can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. And some of the thoughts that have come through include this from Azlan, nothing to be proud or happy about because this appointment is not due to an election and this doesn't solve the actual issue that we have, which is of race. There is no moderation here.
Yeah, I think this has been... I think the root of the problem here is that this appointment, you know, whatever else you say about Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin, this appointment was done through a certain amount of what could be considered dubious kind of backdoor politicking, which is where the questions arise. Because how has the public had any say in this? You know, where is the democratic principle to the formation of this new government? That does not appear to be anywhere to be seen. So that's the question I think that has really stymied a lot of viewers of this swearing-in ceremony this morning of the new coalition that's coming about, and it's going to persist through the announcement of the cabinet, which is going to be coming up next from Tan Sri Muhyiddin. Mm.
And actually, I think the cabinet is the key sort of thing that's going to tell us where he's taking this, because yes, perhaps we don't know what he has in store. And at this moment, a lot of the opposition, a lot of the uncertainty is stemming from the fact that we didn't vote for you to be in this position. We might have chosen you. If the electorate did, then not everyone would be happy, but that's democracy in works. But right now, once he picks his cabinet, we'll get a clearer message as to, is this Muhyiddin of days of yore?
Yeah.
Is this a new Muhyiddin?
And I think that message is important because we haven't heard anything from Tan Sri Muhyiddin as to what his plans are, really, except for he hopes that Malaysians will accept him as the Prime Minister. So I think until he says something, this is going to be a huge question mark for the people.
Guys, I'm sure I'm not alone in saying this. I mean, over the last 2 years, how many times have we said the word, talked about it, manifesto? You know, everything keeps coming back to the Pakatan Harapan manifesto. All the promises that were either made or changed or altered or not done, everybody points it back to the manifesto. And the reason for that is because it was a clearly laid out promise. You know, they said roughly what it is that they intend to accomplish. Now, whether or not that manifesto was doable, I think has since become the subject of some debate, but at least it existed. And so I think until we see, you know, a statement of intent, whether it's in the form of a cabinet decision or whether it's in the form of an actual announcement, an actual policy announcement of sorts, it remains to be seen exactly what Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin's administration is planning to set out to do and accomplish. But we did hear earlier from Sharon, who said that he feels a sense of euphoria with this change. And Sharon is back to say why. So I voted for Pakatan Harapan in the last election. There it is, based on the manifesto and the frustration over the old regime. But over the period of 2 years, I realised that it was a marriage of comfort for Pakatan. Hence, the fight within was just too much to digest. Nothing moved. I hope that with the new PM, assuming that the cabinet consists of people with the same wavelength, the government will move faster with less internal fighting. Sharon also says, answering your question while doing my cooking, Sharon, enjoy lunch.
See, the thing is, I'm not sure I agree with the idea of a cabinet that consists of people on the same wavelength, because then you run the risk of it being an echo chamber.
Yes,
the alternative is also, you know, not great. If you have a lot of people who have a lot of different opinions and are constantly fighting with each other, nothing gets done. But surely we can find some kind of middle ground, right? Because at the end of the day, it should be that, I mean, politics is not the end goal. It is the welfare of the people whom you represent.
And what does that actually mean, people on the same wavelength, right? Because one of the major concerns that's already surfacing, you know, even from the beginning of this chatter, was the fact that this is a Malay majority party with no representation from the other races. So even then who are the voices that are going to speak up for the other people in this country? Mm-hmm. And how does that translate into how policies are made? Yes, perhaps there will be representation once it's announced. We don't know yet. But at this point, I can understand why. And given also this is not a leader without a track record. We know, you know, he's been in the scene for a while, as Jahaba pointed out. We know statements he's made in the past. We know parties he's associated with in the past. So therefore, while I think yes, some amount of waiting needs to be done, I also don't think it's wrong or not. It's not unusual for people to feel, I think, anxiety or this kind of frustration even.
So keep those thoughts coming. Again, that number to WhatsApp is 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. It is a handoff, actually, from us, the collective
The collective Lins and honorary Lins.
Yes, essentially. To our colleagues, Wang Xiaoning and Roshan Kanison, they'll be on to continue this conversation all the way through till the afternoon. So that is coming up after the 12 o'clock bulletin. Guys, thank you very much for being with us this morning and for telling us that you were listening when we weren't sure. And so we have some music that's going to take us to the news. We've got The Strokes with Hard to Explain. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.